I got my readings today just from the Lutheran lectionary, so I love that it ties in well with whenever the songs are on. But it's, 2 Corinthians 5, the whole idea of new creation. And mostly going to be looking at this 2 Corinthians passage, which has got all this stuff about reconciliation, being in Christ, sin, God's righteousness. But I just want to focus on this idea of new creation because I can't have time to do everything. So I love what Paul writes in this because he's really simple. Like he's massively, deeply theological, but if you break it down, it's actually really easy to follow what he's saying. So he goes straight from this idea of no one from a worldly point of view. And then he says, the old is gone, the new is here. And because of that, we're going to live as Christ's ambassadors. It's this really sort of simple message, but hopefully it's not just that. So before we look at what this whole idea of new creation is, we have to also think about what the old is. Now, Paul says it's from this worldly point of view, which is why this Joshua passage ties in quite nicely. Old. So in Joshua, the Israelites, quick background of Israel, they lived in Egypt for a while, went out into the desert. God had them walking around for 40 years because they were all sort of disobedient. They all died. And then God had to wait for the new generation to come up. So there's a lot of sort of undealt issues there for the Israelites. But 40 years later, they're in this new land. It's all happy. They've been living off God's provision. And then suddenly they're in this new land. And just the last line there, they ate the produce of Canaan. So they've gone from the old, journeyed for a while, and they've entered into the new. Sort of what it's saying here. But they didn't just enter the new, they enjoyed the produce of the new. They had the fruit of the new. It's like having a cake and getting to eat it too. Which I don't get that saying, because why would you not? No. The cake's good. Okay, but there was a lot of undealt with issues. They entered the new, and I'm not going to go into the rest of Joshua, but it's a really interesting read, because the next passage sort of comes up and says, well, actually, no, you're not new. This is the new land. This is my provision that I'm giving to you. But you're not new. You're still bringing your undealt issues with you, your sin with you. So if we go back to what Paul's saying with the old becoming new, we have this sort of just mental picture of, okay, old becomes new. That's how it works. That's logical. But Paul sort of turns on his head and he says, well, actually, no, it's not the old going to come into new. This is heaven we're talking about. The new is going to come into the old. See, if we go from old to new, we're still going to bring our issues with us. We're going to bring our sin with us. So the new comes into the old. We don't live in the old anymore. The new squishes onto us. Now this is like a radical idea that we hear, but it doesn't make a lot of sense because how can the future come to the past? Like, that doesn't work. But Paul's saying that God's kingdom breaks into this present reality. And yeah, we're still in the old, but we've got to live like it's new. So I'm going to do something which is fun for me because I like having my computer. I've got a pen for my computer, so instead of having to bother highlighting and doing all funny stuff, I can just circle stuff. Okay, so I'm going to go through this again, just sort of very simply. Paul's message here goes from this worldly point of view. He says, if you're in Christ, the new creation has come. So not that the old is going to be new, but the new is coming back to us. Okay, new has come. It's here now, which is kind of cool. And this ministry of reconciliation, and that's, it sort of jumps there. It goes from the new to reconciliation, which I think we had the past, was it a year ago or 2 years ago? Zagel, was it? I can't remember. But yeah, he was here, and there's still signs in the toilet, ministry of reconciliation. Is there any signs in the girls' toilet as well? Just keep seeing it on the boys' toilet. So we know what it's like to be ministry of reconciliation, reconciling, God reconciles the world to himself through Christ. And then Paul says that he's using us as this message of reconciliation. Which is nice. I like that. And again, through us, in us, on Christ's behalf. Boom. So he's suddenly gone from this whole, we're not looking at the world anymore, the new has come to us, the new is here. And then he says, we are the ambassadors of reconciliation. So this whole, Paul uses a lot of different words to say the very same thing over and over again. So for Paul, ambassadors of reconciliation basically is another way of saying live like a new creation. So one of the things that I've learned at college every semester, every year for the past 4 years, is a picture that I'm going to show you now. And it's basically just a way of looking at this idea of new and old, because it still doesn't make sense to me, because it's not logical. So if this is the time of the world, God creates the world, it starts, at some points it's going to end. This is what Paul's saying is the old. And then we have the kingdom of heaven, God's presence, God's kingdom. He doesn't start, he doesn't have an end. He's this sort of heaven that's, we think, sort of above us. And then God enters into this reality. He comes down from heaven, lives with us, this whole idea of Emmanuel. Thanks, Pam, for choosing the songs. Emmanuel, God with us. The new is coming down into us. Okay, and then Jesus died, and he birthed this whole idea of new, Paul's new creation in Christ. But we're not new yet. And so we actually live in this period of time that's between the old and the new, so we've got to live like it's new, but we're between the old and the new, and that, I mean, I struggle with that. I struggle to grasp how time and space and reality all tie in together. And what Paul's saying is that the new's gonna, the old's gonna end, and if we're gonna live like what's new, at the end there's only gonna be new. So why would we live now between the old and the new as if the new wasn't here yet? It is here now. That's what Paul says. Okay, so still working on this idea of new creation. We know that the Bible says that God's going to end the world at some point. He's done water, so next is fire, which sounds super exciting. But he says, and this is Isaiah 65, if you're playing at home, behold, I will create a new heaven and earth. The former things, so that's the old, the earth, what's happening right now, that's not going to be remembered. They won't come into your mind. Okay, so that's sort of sounding like it's future. You're not going to remember once the news come. But then if we go to the end of the Bible, Revelation, this is John's sort of vision, he says, I heard a loud voice from the throne, which is, so God the Father is sitting on the throne, and he says, now the dwelling place of the Lord is with men, and he will live with them. So if God's sitting on the throne, and he's talking about the new creation, the recreation of the world at the end, and he says, now the dwelling place of the Lord is with men. So if God is speaking, if Father is speaking and saying he will live with them, he's not talking about himself, although he is because he's God. He's talking about Jesus. Now what was the thing about Jesus when he was born? Emmanuel, God with us. So this is what Paul's talking about with new creation. He's saying new creation is Jesus, us in Jesus. But Jesus has already come and he's already with us. There we go. All right, so for Paul, this whole idea of new creation, it's linked with the new covenant and that thing I said before that I forgot. But yeah, the same words, basically for him, this all mean the same thing, this whole new life. Everything is different now that Jesus has come. So back to 2 Corinthians. You don't have to skip in your Bibles. I've got it for you here. Paul's talking about a lot of this whole new creation idea, new covenant, and he says that, talking about new covenant, new creation, we are all being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. Now this is exciting, because if we're being made into a new creation, and the new creation's already here, that means it's happening now. Yeah? With ever-increasing glory. Now that confuses me, because if the new is now already, but we're increasing in glory. How does that fit together as now already but increasing? It doesn't quite, but it comes from the Lord, so we can trust it. Which gets me thinking, which you might be already as well, if we're going to live like a new creation, and Paul keeps saying new creation, new covenant, Isaiah talks about it, Revelation talks about it, what is the new creation? See, we know it's Jesus in some form, and we're ambassadors of Christ, in Christ, through Christ, increasing in glory, all right? But Paul here is saying very cleverly that we're not just going to be in, through, of, because, around, ish, Jesus, is going to be transformed into his image. Cool. Yeah. Can I stop there? But then that just begs more questions. What is his image? I was actually doing this with the kids the other day. What is God's image? And the Bible says he has hands and feet. He has a nose. He can smell stuff. He has eyes. It doesn't say he has legs. So if you've seen VeggieTales, it's this shape with no arms and no legs, but hands and feet that sort of float around in midair. But none of us have seen God. And I was trying to explain this to Josiah, saying, well, the Bible says that you can't see God, but he's there. He has a back. And God says you can't look at him because if you look at him, you'll die because he's so holy. And that didn't really make sense when I said it out loud. But that's what the Bible says. So no one's seen God, but you know he has hands and feet and a head and eyes and nose and mouth. How do we know what his image is? Okay. Now you might have an image in your head of God and sitting on the throne in heaven in this cloud of glory, or the opposite side of things where God is this little baby in a manger, which is both true, or on the cross, hands out, nails, blood dripping, also true. But I think there's also something bigger than that about God. Because he is the Father, and he is the Son, and he is the Spirit. He is the new creation, perfect creation. And there's something that we learn in creche about God. And then I haven't heard anyone else speak on this, which is why I'm doing it now, about what God is. What does he look like? Now, Milo did this sermon series last year on the names of God. And in the first place where God tells someone who he is, so the start of the Bible already talks about God. But then we don't actually hear God say, I'm God, until he talks to Moses and said, oh, what's your name? God goes, oh, I am who I am. And we go, oh, what does that mean? Milo did this thing about I am who I am means the God who is. And then, so if we're looking at the God who is, in the Hebrew, that's sort of a funny way of saying the God who is doing. Because is isn't just sitting there as a rock immovable, it's actually present in time doing stuff. So the God who is means the God who is doing. What is he doing? It's very simple. Any guesses? No. Helping? What? Loving. Yes. God is love. This is a very simple idea that we get in creation. Go, oh yeah, cool, God's love. All right. And then we go, no more, well, I haven't had any, you know, good, decent teaching on what God is love really means in the world of new creation. So, if God is love, it's a simple but really abstract idea. Well, if God's love, we're not love. I've seen something of love. It's quite nice, but it's definitely not permanent. It definitely changes depending on how much coffee I've had. And how does God's love relate to us being a new creation? Well, Paul says it in the passage beforehand. He says it in the passage before we read, still talking a message of really reconciliation. The reason that he does everything, Paul, is because Christ's love compels us. He's talking about him and Timothy there. And he's writing to the Corinthians and says, those who live no longer live for themselves, but for him. Why? Because Christ's love compels us. So Christ's love, God's love, same thing. Now, what do we know about God's love? Very simple. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, blah, 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 blah. But if God is and God does and God is love, then the main thing about God that we can say here is that God loves. He loves the world, which is the old and the now. So what does the world look like? Lovely, beautiful creation. And we live in Perth, so we can see the sunset every day from the beach, which is beautiful. But that's not what Paul's thinking here, I don't think. Paul's picture of the world is more like this. Prime ministers who may or may not have had an affair. International politics, where people say horrendous things and then take them back the next day. Hey, we have to deal with this. This is the world. And this. Now, what does God says he loves? He loves this world. Now, I find that extremely difficult when we have Christians in trouble over things like this. But this is what God says to love. Now, that's, you know, obviously I've just picked all the bad stuff. I know that's just the first new stuff that popped up in Google. I didn't search for the bad stuff. News just is bad, apparently. But this is our present reality. This is the world that we need to see as the new creation, because that's what God says to do. Now, is it easy? Not at all. I've been looking at this stuff for the past few days, immersed in this idea of being a new creation, loving like God loves. And yet already 5 times this morning, it's not happened. Okay, it's the way that we think, the way that we act. And Paul goes and makes this about us being ambassadors of Christ. So we're not just holding on to this for ourselves. We actually have to go out and minister as reconcilers. Of what? Okay, it's not of just preaching salvation. In the back of the bulletin it says, the ministers here, all God's people are the ministers. We're not ministering salvation, we're ministering God's love. And not from this worldly point of view where love is contingent on whatever. Whether you marry me, whether you do the dishes tonight, whether whatever love is contingent on. Okay? If God is love, then the whole purpose of God's existence, and if we're in God, through God, by Christ, the purpose of love is to love. The purpose of living is to love. That's powerful. Isn't it? It's still abstract, but it's powerful. And then salvation is just a bonus on that. We get to love eternally. We get to be loved eternally. But it means that we, you, me, us together as a church, the church together as Catholics, Lutherans, Presbyterian, whatever else, we need to see ourselves in this new light of the new creation. Now that's going to look different for everyone. But it's all going to be love. Loving for the sake of loving, which I'm going to keep saying over and over again because it doesn't make sense. If we're in ministry, and if anyone's been in ministry for a while, they get burnt out. Because we're in ministry to get people here, to make sure the kids feel out there colouring in every week. To make sure that the junior church kids remember their Bible verse next week or whatever. And then that happens week after week and we forget and we go, oh, my ministry purpose isn't working out. Okay, maybe your ministry's at work or at home. The house is still messy week after week and it's just not working out. But Paul's saying that the point of living and being ministry isn't to make things work out. It's to just keep loving. Okay, and we know the only source of that is God. We can't do that on our own. So the question that I want to end on, and I'll leave with you, is how will God's love change how you see your world, my world? Thanks.